Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to tell you guys about PicDrop. PicDrop is an image transfer tool I've been using personally for years now. It's how I send all my photos to my clients. I can store selects online. Really easy places to kind of catalog and organize all my stuff. This is user-friendly. They're kind of constantly updating new features. They just released a new feature called the Scribble feature, whereas if you're working with a retoucher or maybe one of your clients, they can just scribble notes right on the photos. So this really just kind of streamlines the workflow, easy to communicate. Never had any issues with clients understanding how to download the photos or anything like other older outdated platforms like Dropbox and WeTransfer. Not as user friendly. And the cool thing, like I mentioned, PicDrop is owned by photographers, so they understand what photographers need and are looking for, and are continually offering new products and solutions on how to better this kind of streamline your workflow. So with today's episode, if you use the promo code BANTER, you'll get 2 months free of PicDrop image transfer tool. So just go over to picdrop.com, enter the promo code BANTER when you sign up, and let me know what you guys think. There you have it. That was the Gary Land interview. I want to thank Gary so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. I'm sorry it took me so long to publish this one. But like I said, always a pleasure talking to Gary. Someone I have an immense amount of respect for, his work, and just the enthusiasm he brings to everything he does. Always just trying to push himself, and definitely go check out his website at GaryLand.com, as well as on Instagram at GaryLand, and their studio in Marshfield, Mass., right outside of Boston. If you're ever in the area looking for a studio, their Instagram is RT3Stages on Instagram. You can check it out. Incredible studio and facility. So definitely go check that out. And also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, with the promo code BANTER, you'll get 2 months free of the PicDrop image transfer tool. All you got to do is go over to picdrop.com, enter the promo code BANTER, and you'll get 2 months free. So definitely go check that out. Let me know what you guys think. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got some more episodes coming. I know I've been kind of slacking, but I'm going to keep it going. All right. I welcome back returning guest. I think third time on the podcast, Gary Land. How's it going, Gary?
Yo, yo. What's up, Alex?
Excited. Hold the mic close to your mouth if you can.
Yes.
There you go. Excited to have you back on, man. It's been a couple years. Last time I talked to you was during the pandemic, and since then, you've opened a new studio in, what town are we in?
We're in Marshfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah, how did this project come about? Because it's, you've kind of sneaked it on Instagram a little bit. You guys were building out this studio, I think, like the last 6 months or so. But like, how did this kind of all come about?
Yeah, man. I mean, I was in the same place in Quincy, Mass. for, God, almost 12 years. It was only, you know, almost 6,000 square feet. So we kind of, you know, outgrew the space, and there was only a certain amount of shoots that we could do there. Mm-hmm. So for years, we were always looking for the right space to take over and build a bigger studio space. So, you know, usually when something came along, we'd realize really quickly that it wasn't suitable because there was like beams every 15 or 16 feet, you know? So one of my buddies was like, hey, I found the spot. I actually only need a little small space, but this could be the perfect, you know, spot for your new studio. So anyway, I came out here, checked it out. Literally from the moment I walked in, I realized, okay, this has got a lot of, you know, promise, because it was a huge empty warehouse with very high ceilings. So got my partners involved. We got a broker involved, and we just started dealing with the landlord and the owner. And, you know, a year later, were moved in. You know, it was quite the endeavor, because it needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, and so we put a good amount of money into making it a viable, you know, rentable studio.
Yeah, because was that the goal with the space? Because looking at your work now, like, it seems like you're doing a lot of location work, a lot of storytelling stuff. Like, are you even shooting yourself much in the studio these days?
I mean, there's a need for studio stuff. I just feel like, you know, it just goes, it's all over the place, right? Sometimes you need a studio to do shoots. Sometimes you need locations. And the thing is, it's, you know, we have, you know, within GLP, there's multiple directors and multiple needs. And there's always need for inside space, especially in the wintertime, you know, in Massachusetts. So we knew that we had rented out spaces a lot of times at places like Red Sky or places like High Output. Yeah. And, you know, there were always issues with those spaces, like the ceilings weren't high enough or, you know, sound wasn't great. So we wanted to build a space that kind of, you know, was better and that suited our needs so we wouldn't have to go to those places and spend money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say, you know, probably probably more like 60-40, 60 location, 40% studio.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. Like, before we started, I was talking to you, like, when I met you, like, 15 years ago out of college, you had a little, it wasn't even the studio, it was just kind of like an office space in Rockland.
Oh, God.
And it's been crazy. And then when you built out the studio in Quincy, I was there, I helped out a little bit. And how is it, like, nerve-wracking taking these jumps, like, going from Rockland, where it's just a little studio, who knows what the rent was, probably not that much compared to what you're doing now, like... Is it nerve-wracking at this point, or you just don't...
No, it's always nerve-wracking.
Yeah, man. Cause
I remember, going into the Rockland space, and that was like, what, $1,500 a month?
Mm-hmm.
And then to Quincy, which was $6,500 a month, which was scary. I just remember, like, puking a couple of times, going, damn, I hope this works out.
Yeah.
We were there for 11 years, and now we're at $27,000 a month.
Jesus Christ.
You know, and... Yeah, it's all scary. I had the same exact feeling, but the good thing was with that feeling was I knew that that feeling was healthy because, you know, and I went into building this space knowing that the first year would be a little slow because mm-hmm. I have to build awareness.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, the feelings are the same. It's still scary.
Yeah, because when you opened the Quincy studio, it was just you, Abe, and Jeff. I pretty much at that point, like, you hadn't really opened everything you're doing now, because you have, like, what's, I always forget the retouching
and your business, like, too many companies.
Yeah Like, was that always the goal? And, like, I've always just been curious how you, because I already know, like, as a photographer yourself, it's so hard to handle your own work, just the client work you're doing. Like, how has the evolution happened? Like, how do you manage all these different people that are now involved in this, what's under this one roof, I guess?
Right. Well, how I manage it is by having great partners. You know, that's the first and foremost thing, is because you can never do anything by yourself. You know, just like even directing or even shooting a big campaign, it's always about the crew that you have with you that's going to help you make the best out of each job and do the best work you can. So I think that also goes the same way with being, you know, having a businesses. And, like, it started with GLP, and GLP at the time was a multifaceted company, even though it was just me and Abe. We were doing retouching and we were doing productions.
Yeah.
And then I brought on Greg Smith, who was a movie guy, you know, from LA, who had moved back to Boston. And, you know, he came on right away, and, you know, we started taking on more motion projects. So we ended up creating a post-production company that was separate called Trident. So GLP became just the production arm.
Yep.
It was originally just me as the director, but then we brought in other guys like, you know, Tyburn Nemeth and JJ Miller. Yeah. So it's like Nikki McMorrow and Julia Liu. So I can just say that. So, like, yeah, like GLP, you know, where it was just once me being the only director or photographer, you know, now we have four or five people, including Tyburn Nemeth, JJ Miller, Nikki McMorrow, and Julia Liu. And we're continuing to bring other people on as well. So, yeah, it's nice to be, you know, everyone's got a different style. People bring different things to it. There's different needs. So with that, with production company, Trident, and then years later, we ended up doing, we're building a small agency called The Convoy. And the only reason why I did that was because so many people were reaching out to me as a director, creator, going, hey, I've got this product. How do we bring this to life? What's the best way to do this? How do you see doing it? And, like, instead of, I used to just give them those ideas for free.
Yep.
And then I had friends that were in the agency business that were like, you need to start an agency.
Yeah, because that's how you kind of view what you're... Because Convoy's still around, is that...
Convoy's still around. It's doing really well.
So you have, like, GLP, which is, like, your photography, and then, like, Tyber and JJ and the other photographers and directors underneath that. And then you have Trident, which is retouching, and then Convoy. Because you guys do even... Like, you guys will design websites and design work and everything, right?
Yep. And we do, you know, like, for instance, you know, Convoy just worked on, from the creative to the finish, three new balls from Titleist that we had done all the work, came up with the ideas, just executed the multi-million-dollar TV spots for them, and the still work for it. And that was something we did. And we've done that for other brands as well. So it's just, again, and we have writers and we have, you know, creative directors and other and everything under Convoy as well. So it's kind of just, it becomes a beast.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I've talked to other photographers, and everyone's just been curious. We're like, because you as a photographer, I know how creative you are, and you have all these personal projects. Right. Like, in your day-to-day, like, are you in the weeds of, like, everything that's going on?
No.
Here? Yeah, that's why I was always curious. Like, how the...
I'm behind the scenes. So I have great partners, like I said, that take on... We all have lanes, right?
Yeah.
I'm a director, a photographer, a creative guy. I come up with a lot of great ideas. I help execute. But then I have other partners that take on the day-to-day. We have 15 people here that all have jobs that help the day-to-day. I can't take on all that stuff. I don't want to take on that stuff. I'm busy enough as a father, a husband.
Yeah.
You know, I love my sports and surf and skate. And,
yeah.
You know, I have, you know, my snowboarding projects and with East Street Archives that I'm doing. So I have my hands in everything. But I think, honestly, all this stuff is what keeps me, you know, young at heart and just stoked for life and creative in the creative process.
Yeah.
So I think it's all good.
That's kind of the cool thing I would imagine, because like so many photographers, like myself, it's pretty much just me, and then I hire my assistants on the jobs I do. But like even just walking in here, it's like there's people around here. There's people working on different stuff. And like, do you feel, is it kind of inspiring just to kind of have this group you built and come in every day? And now especially, it's like on another level, yeah. Like what you guys have built.
It is. It's humbling because it's like, you know, I'm providing, you know, a livelihood for so many people that are super talented, you know, and like every once in a while I have to take a step back and go, oh my God, like
that
look what I've created, you know, like
that would stress me out, man.
It does. Well, it is. It's stressful because you always, you know, cause there, you know, the pandemic, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like I was like, are we going to make it through this? And we did. So I kind of use the pandemic as, you know, kind of a marker where it's like, we survive that, we can survive anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we were talking before this, like you've always been like a glass half full, trying to stay positive. Like, you feel stressed, like how do you deal with it? Cause like sometimes people can be debilitating and it's like, they can't move forward, but you've always been someone I've never really seen you like, lately, when I was assisting you, you never like, even in the times where like, I remember that one shoot we did where you're photographing, I think it was like Pampers or something. It's like 35 kids.
Yeah.
It's like a million things going on and the client wants this and that and you don't sweat it. But like, how do you, if you have stress, how do you even deal with it? Because you have so much going on.
That's a really good question. I think I'm kind of always stressed and it's just a part of my DNA. And like, I hide it in certain ways. I mean, I've got so much going on that I don't think I have let the time to let the stress hit. Like when I'm not doing something, that's when I worry because it's like, you know, but I think it's like, it's filled with my extracurricular activities. Like, you know, I used to always play a sport. Now it's like, unfortunately, I hate to admit it, but it's pickleball. I love pickleball so much.
Really? You're one of those guys.
I play pickleball all the time. And I feel like, and I always kind of question like, why am I doing this? You know, and I think it's because it's just everything else I forget about at the time I'm playing it. And it's like a therapeutic to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And I got back into snowboarding during the pandemic. That was another thing. So the winter months that I go out and I ride with my friends and people. So I just keep myself busy.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. I keep myself busy. I don't have time to dwell too much on the stressful parts.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing. Like I said, like seeing where you come from to where you're doing now. And it's been like a, would you say it's a slow build? Like
slow
it's
build.
Like people, like photographers, like starting out could look at this and be like, damn, how do I get this like big studio and all this stuff? And it's like,
time,
it's because how long have you been doing this? Like,
I've been shooting my first paid experience being a photographer was 1986.
That's wild. Yeah.
That was my first paid gig.
Yeah.
And then all my stuff got stolen on the job and I stopped for a couple years. So I've been doing this for a really long time and I'm thankful for the film years. I'm thankful for all that, like, you know, shooting analog, really learning how to capture an image in a certain way, you know, through film really, you know, helped pave the way for me as a photographer and being able to wait and see the images that come back and learning from those. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
And I love digital. Like I remember I love Photoshop. I love the post process of capturing an image, bringing it into Lightroom or Photoshop and creating a mood, even more mood, adding more embellishments to the image that you've created and captured in camera. So there's something about that. Like I love color. Mm-hmm. I love watching films and looking at color, like, you know, for the movie Joker or, you know, Space Odyssey or any of these movies, like you can see the palettes you know, which it would be like color looks in for stills or LUTs in motion. It's like I'm always playing with that, and I really have a high respect for the guys that are that do it professionally for a living.
Yeah, because are you still doing much retouching on your own work these days?
I am. I mean, like anything I shoot for myself, I do all the retouching on. Mm. I just because I want to have my hands on it. Yep. And again, it's not like I don't go into it going, yep, it's gonna look just like this. Yeah. No, I'll shoot it in a way, but then I bring it in and I'm you know, I might have five different looks on something and then I just sleep on it and then I say, yep, this is the look I'm going with.
One thing I always remembered this, like the first time I came to that Rockland studio and Abe was like showing me around and like showing me the work you guys did. And there was like one cool campaign you guys did. It was like, I think it was like an anti-smoking campaign with Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys did these like cool designs where it was like you made like designs out of like smoke.
Skulls. Yeah. And, like scorpions and like all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. The thing that it reminded, that always stuck in my mind talking to Abe, and he was like, yeah, this is like my video games. Like the way people want to stand in front of a screen and like play video games. It's like retouching and
it's true,
people love that.
It's true because it's rewarding, right? You have all these trials and tribulations and hiccups, you know, as you're doing it, but then you get to a point where it's like you beat the main character, like in a video game, you like you overcome that what it was that you were looking for and find the solution, and you're like, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of funny. It's like I look at retouching almost like a painter looks at a painting. Like that guy could keep painting, or like, you know, Bob Ross, fluffy clouds, I'll add more sky, I'm gonna add more greenery, I'm gonna add more. There has to get to a point where you're done.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hard part that I learned right away being a retoucher, was that at some point you're gonna have to say it's finished, because you can keep going, you can add more, you can do more stuff to it.
And a lot of times when you go to, that's the hard thing with retouching, it's like you can keep pushing right. And sometimes it's knowing when to pull back.
Right, when to pull back.
Yeah.
And I mean, oh my God, in my whole career, it's like I went from simplicity to uber concentrated and like HDR and everything's in layers and everything, every part of the image is in focus, which is so funny to look back at now. It's almost like when somebody looks back, like I wore bell bottoms or that was part of growing and like learning and like that. I got hired a lot for that look. And then now it's, you know, it went to the years of like, you know, shittier is better, you know, embrace the imperfections, you know, lens flares, you know, water on the lens, you know, crooked frame, crane, you know, it's like, and now it's coming back to the more polished.
Now there's like
overlit.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I'm seeing that coming back now too. I'm getting hired for that look again.
And there's brands like shooting film and stuff. Like
I'm shooting a lot of film.
Yeah. I was talking to this retoucher at Nike out in LA and he's like, yeah, man, like I'm retouching all this film stuff.
Right.
And even I did like one of these portfolio reviews I do like every so often to try to like drum up work and meet new people. And I was meeting an editor at some magazine. She's like, do you shoot film? Because we like film. I was like, that's interesting. I was like, so
I can make it anything look like film. You
know? Everything kind of comes around. Like a couple of years ago, the gels were like super heavy. And I feel like that's kind of cooled off a little bit now.
Right.
Yeah. It's all.
Like, I mean, look behind me, all the film on the shelf.
Like, I know. Right, I did. Right there. You got some Agma.
So I like buying like old expired film and I still shoot it and it still works. And you can get different looks with it. And like I have a scanning system that you can see over here on my left where I just scan in and digitize all my stuff, and I can still then bring that stuff and create looks even on top of the look. So
yeah,
it's fun, right? It's art. We're creating art. You know, I remember back in the day when photography wasn't considered a fine art.
Yeah.
And then as the digital, you know, revolution hit, now photography is completely a fine art. It became a fine art, especially with the guys doing film, shooting, you know, even 35 medium format, large format. It's all now considered a huge art form, especially when you're the analog part of it. And
I've always just been, for me, like the stuff, I've never been like a gear guy. Like for me it's all storytelling, right? Like, and a lot of stuff you'd done, like you did this cool thing you were talking about, you shot like a week or two ago. It was this kid I think near your neighborhood, like on a farm, and it was like him like playing basketball or something. And for me it didn't matter what camera was shot on. It was about the story, about the person. That's the stuff I feel like resonates with me more than anything.
No, I appreciate that. And I agree. I see that in your work as well. It was just, you know, those types of things are meaningful because one, I had passed by that same location for years. And I always said, man, someday I'm going to shoot, that kid is like, every time I pass by, I was like,
we all have that. Yeah, late in the day. And you know, we all have those projects, but I have that too. Like, why didn't I stop there? Quit being a little bitch.
That's exactly, I had that voice in my head, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go there and I'm going to just talk to the people. And I did. And I was like, hey, I'd love to just shoot you working around the farm and shooting around on the basketball court. And he was like, yeah, that's great. You know, and he didn't know anything about me. He was just into someone.
Like, did you show him some of your work?
And then I did after. He's like, oh my God, you shot all these people?
AI,
what?
AI yeah. and shit.
So it was really cool to make that kid's day. And I gave him some prints and he was just so blown away. And his father was all crying. And like, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes you can touch people's lives, even though they're touching your own life. Like, it was great and therapeutic for me. But that kid also, to be able to have somebody say, hey, I really think you're cool, or what you're doing looks really amazing, I want to capture it in film. He'll have that forever.
And it's like, you realize, like, people want to have an experience. Mm. And that's what it is for probably him. And it's an experience for you as a photographer, totally. And it's an experience for him as a photographer. Because, like, everyone's life, to some degree, it gets kind of repetitious. You have your things normally you do. So it's like, it's exciting. And it's just like, yeah, I always have to remind myself that as a photographer. It's like, get out there, poke around, talk to people, and just try to, like, just shoot projects, you know?
It's funny, people, like, I get all the time, I'll have a DM or somebody will cold call me and tell me they're a photographer somewhere and they're working, but, like, you know, they've been a fan of mine for years, and, like, I just want to know, like, do you have any advice for me? And, like, I just talked to a guy the other day, and he was, you know, asking me, he's like, came up with skateboarding, snowboarding, and he's still shooting a ton of snowboarding. He's huge shoots a lot of natural selection stuff. And he is, you know, working for the Portland Blazers, like doing some stuff. And he wants to do more stuff. And I just said, hey, man, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, constantly. He's like, should I keep shooting just like random stuff? I'm like, hell yeah, man, go out and shoot, you know, basketball. Go shoot your kids, you know, T-ball game. Go shoot all that stuff. Because one, it's also an exercise, right? You're working out. You're working that muscle memory. Yeah. You're doing that. You're building connections.
It's consistency.
You're going to shoot something for someone, and they're going to go, that guy's rad. I have a company. Would you like to do this? It's, you know how it goes. Yep. That's what it is.
Yeah. It takes a long time. It's consistency. It's like,
it is consistency.
It's like the jobs you're getting now, it's because you put all those years of work into it.
Yeah. And I'm freaking 55. I hate to say that. Come on. I was always the young kid. I was the kid asking questions. How do I do this? At some point, it just, you get comfortable and you continue to do it. Like, here's the funny, I talk about this all the time. Back in the day, when creating projects, if I want to come up with an idea, I used to just like come up with an idea and execute it right away.
Yeah.
Because I only had, you know, a camera, a couple of lenses. I didn't have options. I just was like, yeah, I got a couple lights and a camera and whatever, I'm gonna go shoot it.
And
so
that's
here's
all you
the
need.
Problem now. Yeah. Now I've got more cameras and equipment I know what to do with. Okay, well, if I'm gonna come up with an idea, is it like a still project? Am I doing a motion project? Am I doing both? It's like, it becomes too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you question yourself. So I had to realize that and go, okay, you know what? Snap out of it. We'll come up with a motion project, come up with a still project, come up with a hybrid project where you're doing both. Nowadays, all the stuff I'm shooting, there's always motion and stills attached to it. I think it's like 80% of the jobs I'm shooting both.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the motion. You still the motion stuff you enjoy?
I'll be straight up honest with you, photography rules.
Yeah, because motion, it's great when you get to find this piece, but it is so much more involved.
Way more involved. You're less, like, being a director, you have less say. You really do. Like, you're there to make sure the job gets executed the best way it can, right? I mean, it's like, you know, the AD and the director, the assistant director, everybody's working together to shoot these boards, right? And you can only stray so far away, right? Things are very scripted. I like unscripted stuff. Being a photographer, you can, especially the ones like editorial guys, I loved editorial photography because you can really just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
A lot of times we get sucked into doing stuff for clients and we may not agree with their vision, but we do it because it's a paycheck and they know that we can do it. But yeah, I would say photography, to me, being able to freeze a moment in time and that lives forever is so, so powerful for me.
Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, you did a really cool shoot. You just posted, I think, this week with, I think it was for New Balance with Jack Harlow, the rapper. How was that project to work on?
And that project was, one, it was humbling because, you know, I love me some music. I used to love shooting all the hip hop stuff, and that genre has always been powerful. You know, that and then rock have been always two of my favorites. But Jack, I knew his music. I didn't have to do any research on him because I already knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because he paid me so much respect when I shot him, and I, you know, I got introduced to him. He goes, "Yo, dude, I know who you are, man."
Wow.
Yeah, and he like pulled me in. He was like, "Yo, you're one of us. You're from the streets, you know." And I thought he was fucking with me.
He did his research.
Totally, I thought he was messing with me. And his photographer was there, and his photographer was a fan of mine.
Yeah.
And had the AI book and everything else. He was like, "Yo, this guy's a legend." You know. Wow. It meant that was so humbling for me to be able to have Jack Harlow say that. And like, I made that post. He commented on my post.
That probably just set the tone.
It really did, because like sometimes you kind of. You think, oh, this guy's really young, I'm older, he has no idea. And I wasn't going to be like, hey, you know, I'm this guy and I shot this person. I don't do that.
No.
I just kind of try to be a fly on the wall and get the best I can, the best, especially when I'm shooting stills on the set of a commercial.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's what it was. I wasn't directing. There was a director, this guy Ward out of South Africa, really good guy. I've been shooting on some of his sets. And we had a really good chemistry on some of these New Balance gigs. So I shot the stills part of it.
Yeah.
And which was great. I loved it. I love doing that, man. Because it's like you get the more voyeuristic shots. You know, like these people are performing for the director. And then you're kind of like off to the side. And you can kind of get these shots that they're not getting.
Yeah. How do you approach that? Because I've done a lot of that work too. And it's like.
I love those jobs.
It can go great. It's tough because. It's always tougher when you get like a director who's like stressed out.
Yeah.
And I understand it.
Yeah.
And they don't give a shit about you.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
Which I get, but you still have to like, you can't have an attitude. You got to like navigate that like fine line of like getting what you need and then not stepping on their toes. Like
I think for me, it's different too, because I'm a director as well. And I think some people do their research or who is this guy? And then they'll see that I've got some pretty legit, you know, reels that I've shot.
So there's like,
so I feel like there's a little bit of respect.
Mutual respect.
Because I've had like, I've shot on plenty of big jobs with some big directors, and their DP is like, "Yo, dude, I'm a fan of your work. You know, yeah, we should work together." So it's then all of a sudden the director treats me different.
Yeah.
So I think I'm in a different place there. But I will say this: I approach shooting stills on the set of a TV commercial the same as I would if I was the director on the TV commercial.
Yeah.
And I always give the still photography on my jobs the respect that I want them to give me when it's changed out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's like I said before, like when I work with you, when it's assisting and stuff, it's like you like created an environment where it was like fun to be there.
Yeah.
Like obviously it's stuff stressful, and like nowadays, like there's a million shots the client wants to get or whatever, and they're doing video and they're doing that. But you never, you like set the tone. I feel like that's like so important to like on the set. And if everyone's happy and everyone's like getting what they need, like I feel like the end product, it just ends up better. You know?
I think my formula is a lot of the times we're shooting celebrity athletes and things like that. I want it, my job first is with the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I want the athlete to feel comfortable and for them to walk away going, man, that was painless.
Yeah.
And then the client the second.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what if I create this atmosphere where the asset or the client or the celebrity talent feels comfortable and thinks that we're doing a great job and has their best interest, then they'll do it again, do another shoot for the client. So that is really important to the client. So I think that is first and foremost is connecting with the actual talent that you're actually shooting, and then making sure that your client has a good experience, and also letting them collaborate with you. Like, yep. I don't, Video Village is one thing. You let those people sit off to the side, but also like, hey man, don't be afraid. You can come sit right here on this monitor and look and let me know if there's something that you're seeing or if you want to do something. Because guess what? When you include these people, they're going to be, I really like that guy because he made me feel important.
Yeah.
He really heard what I was saying. Even though maybe at some point I'm like, no, or I'm not going to listen to you, I still am listening to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it is important. But just imagine if the script was flipped, you would want somebody to do that to you as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember being an assistant working for photographers that were like just so, like, obviously you got to be serious. Everyone's taking this seriously. You're trying to do the best job. But it was just like, it was just too tense. It was just
very
like,
tense.
And then when it's like a 5-day shoot or whatever, and everyone's just like on edge, and it's just like, there's this like a, yeah, I don't know, there's bad vibes, but like, yeah, like, everyone wants to be included. Everyone wants to play dodgeball. You know, you know what I mean?
Even down to the PAs that are on set, you want to make, I try to, you know, let everybody have fun. I acknowledge everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always shake everyone's hand when I leave a set. And I think It just feels good.
Yeah.
To me, like, I don't, that's just the way I'm wired. I can, so many times people are like, man, you're too nice. You need to not be so nice. I'm like, you know what, dude? Nah.
I am who I am.
Like, I'm not going to go changing and be rude because that's what the industry expects out of me. No.
Yeah. 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 Like, there's a time and place. If people fuck up, then it's like, you deal with it. But if it's like, you know, set the tone. Like,
that's. And I'm perfectly happy. Like, you hear people talking about the state of the industry right now, and it's all screwed. And
oh yeah, people not, are jumping yeah. off. Like, I was gonna talk
jumping
about that.
Off a cliff,
the AI, freaking, the AI
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, the AI. Guess what, guys? Everything's changed. Everything. It's, you have to adapt.
People are saying that with digital.
Adapt.
They're like, guys. This is it.
Digital. Fees aren't what they weren't. You know what's funny? We talk about fees. Oh, fees. This fees that. Guess what? When I first started my career, all the guys before me were bitching that yeah. the same thing. It's just, guess what? Everyone's a photographer now. Grandma.
Yeah.
Grandson. Mom and dad, everyone has access to a camera that are shooting great stuff, and it's getting easier and easier and easier.
Yeah, I don't really worry about that much because, yeah, everyone's a photographer, but then there's just a level of, like, your work ethic and, like, what you're going to put into it to get that work.
Because, exactly.
like, everyone can go shoot photos, and that's great, but, like, to actually make a career out of it, there's so much more that goes into it on the back end of, like, building the relationships you have. Because, like, looking at your work, you've had long lasting relationships with, like, a lot of clients,
right.
like New Balance, yeah. Reebok, Titleist.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think has been the key to your longevity to keep those clients? Because that's hard. It's hard enough to get in client, but
yeah.
to keep them for
yeah.
decades
I'm
more.
I'm glad you say that because yeah. it is hard. It's easy to get it, land a job. How yeah. do you keep that job? And I think it's liking the person that you're working with and the crew that you're working with. And also the excellent work that you're getting out of it. So those two things combined, why would you want to go somewhere else? Imagine if your job is to, think about it, these creative directors, you know, agency folks, they have to create great work for their brands. They are responsible for creating great content. If they know, oh, I know a guy, place where I can go to where it's going to be no nonsense and they're going to create excellent work, you're going to continue to do work.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's as easy as that.
Yeah.
So the less drama on set, the better.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be. And then you have to just go above and beyond. If they ask you to do backflips, you do backflips, splits, and cartwheels. I mean, you do everything. You know, that's it.
And we were talking about fees before, me, you, and yeah. your colleague here. And how do you kind of pick your, like, obviously you don't want to get taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously you get those clients that hit you up who are like, they're like, hey, you help us out on this one. We'll get you on the next one. Everyone, how do you navigate that? Cause that's a hard thing. First off, like, pricing your work and then knowing when to, like, help certain clients out and whatnot. Like, how do you kind of navigate those?
Well, the good news, I don't navigate it. I have people that navigate it for me. And a lot of times they'll ask me, hey, do you want to do this job? There's no money. And if the job is attractive to me because of the subject matter, because of how cool it's going to be, I'll do it for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, to me, creating the assets are just as important as, you know, putting money in your bank account, because mm-hmm. that is money. If
yep.
you have great assets that you can share on social or on your website, that's going to get you the next job. So yep. that's important to me.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, my fees can be literally zero
mm-hmm.
to 100. I mean, not 100 grand, but, like, I mean, over the years I was making a lot more.
Yeah.
And the rates have changed, but, like, it's, you know, zero to 30 grand
mm-hmm.
for a day rate.
Yeah.
Which is insane. It just depends on what we're doing, who's bidding on it, it's all that stuff. Like, I'm bidding on a job right now with two of the biggest photographers in the world, and, you know, we're all hoping we get the job because it's huge money.
Mm-hmm.
It's $1 million job, you know, and who's going to get it?
Yeah.
Maybe me, maybe them. I don't know. But I did my due diligence. I wrote a great treatment, told them exactly how I was going to do it, had a great call. I was very much a yes man on the call, let them know exactly how I was going to do it and that this is something we're very comfortable with.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, it's not about the money, man. If you're chasing the money as a photographer, then get the hell, you shouldn't be a photographer.
Yeah, that's
be a stockbroker.
I never understood that. Like, the people, I get, like, don't get me wrong, I'm trying to make as much money as I can, and, like, because money is important and it helps you. Like,
don't chase the money; the money will chase you.
Yeah, it's.
You're gonna have ups and downs. It's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I remember. Fun. I tell you the thing I love, like, during the middle of the pandemic, it's like right in the middle, you, like, flew yourself out to LA to, like, basically go shoot this Red Bull job. You weren't making any money, but, like, you got something for your website and you just kept the train moving.
And I kept the train moving and I built a relationship with Red Bull.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been doing more work with them and they sponsored an event that I threw this winter. And, like, it's a relationship. You're building a relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
because those opportunities don't come often.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
And, like, I can go a month without a job and I can go a month with no job, with no breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like I said, I've got enough other side projects going on because I'm more than just a photographer and a director. I've got a lot of shit going on, so I'm like, I'm always busy. So I try not to think about those things because I know if I did think about it, like if my job was just a photographer, I'd be kind of probably a wreck, because you know? I'd have to be like, oh my God, when's the next job coming in? Right. And I have plenty of friends that are really amazing, talented photographers that are like, dude, are you working? What's going on?
That's why I like doing this podcast, because like I don't have a shoot really this week. So yeah, I was just like,
but it's okay.
Drove down here, make something, just like creating something or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's like, it's okay, guys. It's okay that you're not working. Don't question yourself. Like, do people like me anymore? Am I good? Am I still good? Yes, all that's great. People have other things going on, you know?
As long as you just put the work in and keep moving forward
and
like,
shoot things for yourself.
It will sort itself out.
Shoot things for yourself too. Like this, you're a photographer because you're a photographer. It's like, you don't think Van Gogh was like, I'm not painting a painting today because no one's paying me. No, the dude's out there painting sunflowers and starry nights and all these other things because that's what he wanted to do. And he actually didn't make much money at all back then, but his stuff's priceless now. Like, you have to create your own stuff to stoke you out.
Yeah.
Keep, like you said, keep the train moving. And the fact that we're, you know, it's a lifestyle. Photography is a lifestyle. It's like surfing. Like, you know, there's guys, people out there surfing all day. You think a pro surfer is going to get in the water and it's crowded. He's like, man, screw surfing. There's too many people out here doing it. I can't do it anymore. No, you're a pro. You go where you want to do. You're getting paid to do it, but it's your lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like skaters. And
right.
Like I went to Hawaii earlier this year and I was on the beach out in Oahu. And John Florence, who's like the biggest,
sick.
And he's just out there. He's out there ripping it up. It wasn't a contest, nothing. Right. He's just shredding. It's like doing his thing.
He loves to do it.
Exactly.
The waves were good.
Yeah, the waves were good.
But that is it though. And I know it sounds so simple. I make things sound way too easy all the time, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
Like I was just talking to one of my assistants today on the phone. You know, Jeff Douglas, who's been with me for freaking ever, and he's an incredible photographer.
Yep.
And like, he's going through some life changes right now. And like I said, Jeff, you need to, you know, you got to get back into shooting because he's so talented. Like the guy was, I'm working on another book right now. It's featuring the works of 30, you know, legendary snowboard photographers that span over 4 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he had great stuff and I just got his stuff and I was looking through it. Now you got to realize I've known Jeff for 20 years.
Yep.
And this is the first time I've ever seen any of his work. And I was blown away.
Wow.
Blown away. Because he's just like, I mean, he's that guy. So it's like, I'm excited to show his work, but I'm also excited for him to, he doesn't even have a website. I said, build your website and like let me start feeding you some work because I have a lot of jobs that come through that I can't do.
Yeah.
That are,
yeah, you've hit me up before.
Yeah, that I don't want to do or I can't do, but they're like, hey, do you know somebody? And I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I want to put him in my Rolodex of guys because guess what? I can't, if he doesn't have a website, that's the first thing they ask for, can you give me his website? And I'm like, oh yeah, he doesn't have one, then they're not going to hire you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's pretty cool, the book project you're doing now with like other photographers. You don't see that a lot, like other people bringing other people into the fold, like a lot of photography, and it's like just promoting yourself, which I understand that's part of it. But like, what made you want to kind of? It seems like you're on the you loving the books right now. Like
love books. I mean, I've got it down to a science. I know how to do it and self-publish and make money. I mean, it took me a while, but I've done it enough now that I realize that there's a formula to it.
You know, like the sweet spot of like how many to shoot. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how'd this book come about? When do you think it's going to come out?
So this book is called Witness, and it's, you know, paying homage to the photographers that have shot and are shooting snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had some really good success with East Street Archives, the book that I just did, you know, last year. And I wanted to pay homage to my heroes, photography heroes. And I've maintained connection with those guys. And so this book is like a 4-book series inside one awesome like slipcase. And each one of the books represents a decade starting with the 80s. So it'd be like all these photographers in the 80s showing their favorite images and the stories behind them. And I think that's what was so powerful. It wasn't just an image that you may or may not have seen. It's actually the story of how they created it or something about that image that you may not know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving them the freedom to tell that story. And, you know, 10 to 20 pages per photographer to tell these amazing stories with these amazing images. So, yeah, man, it is a blast. And I'm a geek because I wanted the book myself and I wanted to create this Bible, the snowboarding Bible, because there's so many people out there that are so moved by and remember having these pictures on their walls as a kid, you know. So I want to, this is for those people.
Yeah. And like the, you kind of have like a, what do you call it? It's like a sample. It's like, it's just like a,
A dummy.
Dummy book of what the design is going to be like. Did you always, like when you design a book like this,
yep,
do you work with the designer?
No,
like,
I did it.
You already knew you wanted floor, whatever. Yep.
Yeah, I designed the idea of it, yeah. And then we started working on weights and all that kind of stuff and sizes.
Yeah, because so, this thing's going to be pretty heavy.
Yeah, that one's too big, so yeah. I talked to the printer. We're going to dumb it down. We're going to probably take, definitely 4 pounds off of it.
Yeah.
Each one of the books in there right now is 150 pages. I think we're going to take it down to 100 pages.
Well, each book, can you take it out?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, you slide it out.
Okay.
So it's like... So the slip case right now is one, it's like chipboard and it's heavy and it basically is a container that holds 4 books. So when you open it up, 2 double spreads, each one of the actual panels is a pocket for the book to slide into. So each one of the books is like perfect bound, flexible, really cool book.
And then when do you think that will...
I would say the book will be out next summer.
Okay, so yeah, you got so some more work
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the asset gathering phase right now, so I'm probably 90% done with collecting all the images and stories from the photographers. There's a few of them. I got a guy flying in this week to bring his uncle's images here so we can scan them in the studio, because this is a legendary photographer, Scotty Starr, worked for Thrasher. He was a skate photographer, but he has a lot of early snowboard stuff in the 80s. So anyway, I'm really excited that his nephew's coming here with his archives to scan.
Are there any snowboard magazines left?
There are. There's Torment Mag, which is cool. There's Slush. My buddy Pat Bridges, who worked for Snowboarder for 20 years.
He started
the magazine called Slush.
Yeah.
And that's around, which is great. And there's like the Snowboarder's Journal. So there's like three of them that are really, really cool.
I miss all the old skate mags, dude.
Oh, I do too,
Like for me, my favorite was always Slapped, and obviously Thrasher.
I shot for Slap once.
It was the best, and like, cause back then, I loved the checkouts, like seeing
see all these guys
that are coming up, and you're like, now everything
about them, what they like, what their age is.
That was the best.
The checkouts were always great, and like the 411 videos.
Oh yes, dude, the 411 was the best.
But that's how many guys do you know started their career with skateboarding? Or surfing or snowboarding. I mean, that was how I got into
it. A lot. I mean, it is interesting. Like, my friend Mike Blayback, he's been DC photographer for like over 2 decades, but now he's doing like other commercial stuff, and it's kind of like other Scott Pommier was like a dope skate photographer, and he does there's a lot of people that come from that world.
Spike Jones.
Yeah, you talk about Spike Jones.
I know Spike is one of my AD's brother is his right-hand man.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Spike, whoop. I don't know why Abe keeps calling me.
No worries. We're almost done.
But yeah, no, man, this is exciting. And, I think I love being able to get on this podcast with you, the Photo Banter. I mean, like, I remember when you first started this, and I've loved watching all these amazing photographers come on and like talk shop and like talk about their history. And like, I am a huge fan of photography and a huge fan of photographers. And like, I think the older I get, the more I appreciate it. I think when I was younger, I didn't really know much about it, but I think I've used your podcast as a good way to get reacquainted and understand photographers and what they've done and what they're doing, which is really, really cool.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been fun. There's so many people out there that you like, because you have the photographer you like in your bubble, and then I talk to other people, and they have like these people that are like they're goats, and I'm like, I didn't even know that guy. Honestly, so much cool shit out there. I know we touched on a little bit, and I was interested to get your perspective with all the AI stuff, because you've always been a guy who's like, you're into technology, you're always like trying new cameras, you've always been like at the forefront of all that stuff. Like, what's your take on it? A lot of photographers are like, they're like, we're fucked, this is it, whatever. Like, what's your perspective on it, you think?
When I first started looking at it, I thought it was really fun. Like, I had some AI apps, and I just started drawing up some like random, like, show me some elves riding a shark in the middle of the ocean during a storm. And I would see it pop up, and I'm like, that's interesting. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about it. I don't really dwell on it, because it's not going to change anything for me. Like, I'm not going to use it really.
Yeah.
I don't see myself using it, like, unless someone's showing me some I know Photoshop's got a beta AI program in there but I haven't even messed with it. I think I'm too old to screw with it.
You're not
to
be that old, honest with
you. But you know what I mean. Like, I have my system, and I know what I like and what I don't like. I mean, AI is great. Look, like I said, guys, change.
Yeah.
It's a future. Embrace it for what it is, and like, don't let it deter you, because there's a lot of things out there that will pop up or come up, and then you can't let that take away from your own, you know, express self-expression. Like, you don't have to use AI. If you want to use it, it's great. Like, AI, ChatGPT is great. Like, exactly. It might help you write a good treatment. Or, you know, sometimes we get writer's block. I write a lot of stuff. And, like, sometimes I'm like, damn, like, I wish I just could say this the right way. Maybe that helps you out. Mm. So just, it's not, you know, is it going to end the world? Is it going to form Terminator and iRobot, you know, death squads? No, I don't think so. But
yeah,
could it be the end of our business? Who knows?
Yeah,
COVID could have been the end of our business.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah, a lot of the stuff we do, it's all storytelling, and it's like,
but it is interesting. It's crazy. It's a little scary, and it's a little like, it's unbelievable, right? That you got this search engine, then go out there and just pull stuff in a microsecond and put it all together, and it's stealing people's like photos that were actually on the internet.
Yeah, for me, it all comes from like, if you're interested in it, do it,
right?
But if you're not, don't. Like,
right.
Like, remember during the pandemic, everyone was going on this NFT shit.
Oh yeah.
And there's people like it made sense. Like that guy Beeple or whatever. Like, yeah, he been doing that like forever. Like the illustration.
Right.
But then there's a lot of people, they see it, they're like, oh, I can get rich quick.
And I sold a couple NFTs.
Whatever.
For little money.
If you like it, do
guess
it.
Guess what? How much you learn about NFTs now? How much is NFT in your vocabulary now?
Exactly. It's nothing's quick. Everyone wants a quick thing. And it was the same thing I was seeing at the AI show. I'm like, okay. I see people using it, and I was just like,
military will use the crap out of it, no doubt.
Like, there's certain
military, yeah. There'll be certain industries that use it for certain things, but they're going to dabble, and they're going to, you know, there's going to be trials and tribulations, but then it'll get back to what's real. Like, look, the photography and talking about shooting on the iPhone and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm not going to say it's a gimmick. It's a great need for people that don't want to invest in a good camera that can have that and document memories with their families, right? Yeah. That's really what it's for.
Yeah.
Like, the professional photographer will always be around. And the good news for us our guys that are going to stay here is the fact that there will be a lot of people that will drop off and won't go down that path, because it actually, the easiness of it is going to make it harder for people. Think about that. That's the positive that I look at it. It's like, just because it's so easy, then it's like, think about being an auto mechanic or any of that other stuff. You can go to school and be an auto mechanic. No one wants to do it because it's too easy. It's like, I want something that's difficult to make a ton of money. Guess what? Those guys are printing money. All these auto mechanics, you know, GCs or like plumbers. How many people do you know that are like, yeah, I'm going to be a plumber when I grow up? Nobody.
No one wants to put it
in
that.
But back in the day, they did.
Yeah.
But then everything became...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean.
No, I get what you're saying. And I just wanted to come across, I'm not hating on AI. I think if you're really genuinely excited about it and making the work you're doing, you should do it. For me, if it's just not from a sincere place, like, you can see through it quick that you're just trying to like make a quick buck or whatever. That was just my whole point. It's like, for me, it doesn't interest me, because I'm like, the way to describe it, it's like, it's basically like, you're like Google searching to create an image. And I'm like, for me, it's all about like the shit you shot last week, the kid in the farm.
Yeah.
It's all about interaction and getting out there. That's what excites me. If it comes down to like photography turns into like, I'm just sitting in front of a computer Googling prompts to build something, I'm like, I'd rather just go do something else.
And AI is the easy way out too. It's like, why would just, for instance, back in the day, if I needed a background, let's say I'm trying to shoot plates and I got this subject and I'm looking for the perfect background plate, am I going to go search on the internet and steal an image off the internet? Or am I going to go to iStock and or am I going to go out and shoot the plate myself and get it just right? Like AI, it's like basically you're talking to a bot that's going to create something for you that you're going to end up using. Now, is that okay? Now, don't get me wrong, that could be great for your client, but is it what you want?
And exactly. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, it may be great for it's a solve or a utility. It's like, it's something that you could use for a client that might serve a purpose, but for our own art.
Yeah.
Is it really, or is it something else?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Is it live or is it Memorex? No. But again, like, I don't worry about it. I know people are talking about it. I felt the same way with NFTs. And again, maybe it helps to be ignorant.
I'm actually interested. I thought you were going to be full on it.
Nah, because...
Because you're all about like the ray guns. And you're big on the HDR.
Oh,
like, you used to be like heavy composite back in the day.
I think I'm just too busy nowadays doing other stuff. Because it's like, I'm so much more than just a photographer director now.
Yeah,
I'm
a
business owner. And I'm doing like... I have five businesses.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's insane. I mean, like...
Yeah.
You know, and I just built this building. It's like, I have a lot more going on. And you know what? I'm super comfortable with it. I'm super comfortable with the amount that I've got going on. So I just think maybe some of the things that people like dwell on or they're curious about maybe isn't just something that's right on my radar because I'm doing so many other things, but I know a lot of people are interested in it and they talk about it all the time. So, but I don't have anything bad to say about it and I don't have anything great to say about it.
Yeah,
it's,
me
fun, it's fun to mess around
who
with.
Who knows? Maybe down the line I'll get excited about it. Exactly. And whatever. Two more questions. I'll get you out of here. Selfishly, I'm a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
You had the opportunity to photograph Shohei Ohtani, who's like just a freak, man. Like, it, like I don't feel like that dude's even getting the recognition he should be getting. Like,
no.
The shit he's doing is so insane. How was your experience photographing him? For him, I think it was for New Balance, like earlier.
New Balance. Yeah. I know New Balance has been good to me this year. It's been really great. Shohei was insane. Like, I knew who he was going into it. So I was like a kid in a candy shop. I was like, oh my God, I'm getting ready to watch. I'm getting ready to like the equivalent of
Babe. Oh, yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer already.
I mean, he's, and so here he is. Couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah.
He's just like so happy to be, I don't know, just so happy to be alive. Like, he just was like, everything he did was like so raw and like genuine and like watching him like pay, you know, like, you know, take direction and just like be humble about it.
Yep.
I was a big fan. Mm-hmm. But I'm a fan regardless of what, you know, how fast he throws a pitch or how much he, you know, cranks the ball through the, you know, through the roof of his Astrodome. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, freaking, he's just an incredible athlete. And like, I think that's the thing about me. I'm so used to shooting some of these guys that are extraordinary athletes that I just try to like, I try to calm myself down inside and say, look, these people just want to be treated like normal people.
Yeah.
So I had some good conversations with him. He actually speaks English.
Oh, pretty good.
He speaks
English
very well.
Okay.
And he's a young kid, man. He's just super happy to be. He's super humble.
Yeah.
You know, and I respect that so much about him. And it's the same with Jack Harlow.
Yep.
I think New Balance has done a really good job of surrounding themselves with great ambassadors that are just good people, like really good people, you know, and I love that about lot about what they're doing.
Yeah, that is cool about New Balance. They're like big into baseball.
And they're in our hometown, bro. They're like Boston born and they're, you know, self-owned. I mean, guys, it's incredible what they've done.
Yep. And then I guess to wrap up, like, what's next for you? What's got you excited right now?
Well, right now, I was working on creating some visuals for this, for my next Homesick event, which is at Stratton, March 22nd through the 24th.
Oh, yeah, Homesick's really like a, you can explain
like
that. What is it?
Arts and culture festival based around snowboarding.
Okay.
But I'm also, for as far as content goes.
Content.
I know. As far as me delivering some really cool content, I'm shooting next week. I'm going to Quebec. And I'm shooting a cool film for Fanatics.
Oh, wow.
Fanatics has taken over some licensing from the NHL.
Yeah.
So we're working on a project for them. And then after that, I've got a cool pharmaceutical job. I'm probably shooting overseas.
Oh, wow.
And then I got a DraftKings commercial I'm shooting. So a lot of commercials.
Cooking.
It's good, man. You know, I'm very appreciative and very humble with any jobs that I get. And again, the times where I'm not working, I'm trying to shoot for myself or do something, you know.
Did the build out of this project, because a lot went into rehabbing this building, take away from like your own personal?
It did.
Yeah.
100%.
I knew it.
I didn't even post on Instagram. I know. I was almost like a year without doing a post.
I
kept thinking, people are going to think I'm totally dead in the water. Whatever.
It's only 6 months. I know. I was like, I knew.
I did not post anything. Yeah. I was so inundated with the build out of this building.
Yeah.
So, but it's exciting. And, you know, I think business is coming back. And like, like I said, anybody out there that's listening to this podcast, don't be afraid to hit me up. DM me on Instagram or go to my website and send me a message, man. Like, I'm a very approachable person.
Yep.
If you want to, you know, talk shop or you want to ask me a question or, you know, get, you know, want some advice, I'd be more than happy to help anybody out that I can.
And the new studio, Route 3 Studios in Marshfield, just south of Boston, is it open for rentals now?
It is open for rentals.
So if you're in the Boston area and need rental, hit them up.
RT3stages.com.
I'll link it. All right. Well, thanks so much, Gary.
My pleasure, Alex.
So there you have it. That was the Gary Land interview. I want to thank Gary so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. I'm sorry it took me so long to publish this one. But like I said, always a pleasure talking to Gary. Someone I have an immense amount of respect for, his work, and just the enthusiasm he brings to everything he does. Always just trying to push himself. And definitely go check out his website at GaryLand.com, as well as on Instagram at GaryLand. And their studio in Marshfield, Mass., right outside of Boston. If you're ever in the area looking for a studio, their Instagram is RT3Stages on Instagram. You can check it out. Incredible studio and facility. So definitely go check that out. And also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, With the promo code BANTER, you'll get 2 months free of the PicDrop image transfer tool. All you got to do is go over to PicDrop.com, enter the promo code BANTER, and you get 2 months free. So definitely go check that out. Let me know what you guys think. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got some more episodes coming. I know I've been kind of slacking, but I'm going to keep it going. Now the weather's getting better, I'm going to try to get down there to New York and interview some more people and just keep it going. But yeah, thanks so much.